As Pastor Josh said, we've been going through the different gifts, and we've been talking out of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. I'm reading out of the New International Version, and it says this. Ready? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everyone say, common good. Very good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, a miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them, everyone say distributes them, come on, to each one, just as he determines. Church, let's close our eyes and pray. Father, I thank you that you are here in this room. I thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And God, I pray right now that, that this just wouldn't be a message that I would preach. God, I have prepared, I have prayed, I have studied, but I can't live up to what you want to do and what you can do. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would use my words and you would shape them and you would release them in a way that it would touch us, every single person's heart in this room. I come against any distractions in the name of Jesus. I come against any thoughts that are not from you. So God, that you can do only what you can do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Come on. Hey, as you find your seat, tap your neighbor's shoulder and let him know the gift is in you. The gift is in you. All right. All right. I love the scripture that we've kind of framed this whole series around. And I love what Paul is saying, because what he's talking about isn't necessarily what we can do. Okay? Really important about the gifts. What he's talking about is what God can do through you. All right? Everyone say, through you. Through you. And it's all about what we can do for our church, what we can do for our friends, our community, here on the Sunshine Coast. All right? And what we've got to realize is that when it comes to God, this is interesting. When it comes to God, it's always about us. But when it comes to God, it's never about us. It's always about what he can do through us for others. That's the God, and that's his plan. That's the kind of God that I serve. He loves us so much, and he won't hold that love back, and he doesn't want to hold any of these gifts back, but he's very specific here. It's for the common good of others. Is that right? Come on. And that's how we want to really look at these gifts. It's not just about us. It is all about us, but it's all about what God can do through us. Come on. All right. So what we're going to go through tonight, in the last few weeks, we talked about the speaking gifts. We talked about the power gifts. Tonight we're going to be talking about the gifts of revelation. But I want you to get this, that they aren't any less powerful than any of these other gifts. Quite the opposite. What I have found is that one gift actually releases the next one. And without us being having the spirit of discernment, it's part of the revelation gifts. Without us understanding what it is to tap into the Holy Spirit to give someone a word of knowledge, many times it doesn't actually help to unlock what God really wants to do, because hearts are closed up. But the gifts of revelation often actually help open people's hearts up. So very, very powerful. Are you ready? Awesome. Come on. Now, it's going to be a little bit of teaching, so I'm going to need some engagement. Are you all right with that? Just so we don't fall asleep here at 5:48 at night. Is that cool? All right, cool. Now, I want to go through what we as a church believe is like the theology that kind of wraps around this. Okay, I'm going to bring it up on the screen. They're just five thoughts around these gifts, okay? And really, the way that you want to look at them is like when you're driving on the highway, this theology kind of gives us our guardrails, okay? It just ensures that no one's going off course and doing silly stuff or doing things in their own ways, okay? So these gifts are going to help us not only see our destination, but get there safely, okay? So number one, Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in our heart, and He transforms us to be like Jesus. Okay? Number two, He comes upon us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Ready? For the sake of others. It's biblical. We just read that. Number three, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in Corinthians 1, 12. These are distributed to believers by the Holy Spirit. They're often categorized in three groups, okay? So that's why we broke up the series that way. We've got our speaking gifts, speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. We've got the power gifts. Who loved last week? The gifts of the healing, miracles, and the gift of faith. I love the gift of faith. It's what unlocks things. And then tonight, as I said, we're going to be talking about the gifts of revelation. It's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. We're going to break them down in a moment. But number four, the purpose of these gifts, again, is to build up and strengthen others. It's not about us. It's never about us. It's always about what God can do through us. The Holy Spirit, number five, the Holy Spirit distributes different gifts to different people, and we can earnestly seek more gifts, especially prophecy. So if you're sitting here and you're like, these gifts aren't for me, I want to encourage you to really lean into that tonight, okay? God has distributed these gifts to all of us. That's what it just said in this scripture. And you are worthy of those gifts if your heart is right. If you understand that it's not about us, it's always about what God can do through us. Are you ready? Yeah. Let's rock and roll. Gift number one, the discerning of spirits. So what is it? Here is the definition. This is a special ability given by God to help people in the church recognize the true intentions behind certain words or actions. Okay? Now, this is kind of what it looks like. And I believe this is actually more important than ever before, because who here agrees that the world has gotten noisier and noisier? Like, we've got Facebook over here, we've got Mr. Netflix over here, and then we've got YouTube just trying to get and compete for every second of our attention. And here's what I found. The worst thing that's happening right now is that you can't actually tell what's actually real and what's fake. Have you come across that? It's like, oh yeah, that looks real, or that sounds good. And then you realize you tell your friend, it's like, oh, that was actually fake. So we need to exercise our spirit of discernment, because just because something sounds good doesn't actually mean it's from God. Really important in the day and age that we live in. It can sound good, but it's actually a distraction. That's what can happen. It can actually distract you from what's real. So you want to go to the Word. You want to go and hear what God's saying about that. But at the same time, this goes for your workplace. So if you're in business, it goes for your investments. It goes for if you're looking to excel in the marketplace. Just because an opportunity looks good doesn't always mean that it's from God. So it's really important. This is a real practical gift to help us make the right choices, make godly choices. Who here wants to make some godly choices? I tell you, I've tried the other way, and it doesn't really work out too well. So the spirit of the discernment helps us do that. It's like, if you want to get a picture, it's like our own kind of night vision goggles. And they help us to see what's really going on in the moment. Okay? It's like when you're confused, when you don't know what's going on, the discernment, the spirit of discernment, this gift helps you to actually see through all of that. And Paul, in Acts 16, he talks about a slave girl that kept following and shouting after him. And this is a moment when he actually engaged in this gift, okay? So now, again, similar to social media or whatever else we might hear in the world, this girl wasn't saying anything untrue. She wasn't even saying anything bad. You can read up on it in Acts 16. But what it says in the Bible is, Paul goes, he became so annoyed with what she was doing. So it was rubbing him up the wrong way. And the King James Version actually says, he became grieved. So this spirit of discernment, it's actually something that we feel inside. It's like, something's just not right. Or you may actually get annoyed. You may actually get annoyed at something. It's like, man, this is not from God, and it's rubbing me the wrong way. So the spirit of discernment is really kind of a heart thing, and you feel it, you sense it. And what Paul did then in that moment, He just casted that spirit out of her and set that girl free. So that's the power of it. That girl's life was changed forever. That's the power of that gift. Now, married couples in the room, this is not an excuse to perform an exorcism on your partner if they annoy you. There are other ways we go about that. It's called marital counseling. It's therapy. It helps. I've been there. But here's the thing. We need to hear from God of what He's doing in that moment. It means when you're facing a situation, when you're confused, when you just can't see clearly, God's saying, man, tap into this gift. I've given you the gift of discernment. And you may already feel that. And now all of a sudden, it's like, okay, it's locked in. I understand. This is actually something from God. I've been feeling this way all along. God's saying tonight, you've got the gift. You've got the gift inside of you. Start unlocking it. It'll help you. The Holy Spirit will help you see through people's agendas, through confusion, or actual activity that's going on around you. And you can practice this in your connect groups. Now, I'm not saying that there's probably going to be demons at your connect group. I think we do a pretty good job at cultivating connect groups and making it a safe place. But the gift, the reason I say this is because the gift works both ways. Yeah, you can discern spirits that aren't actually from God, but at the same time, you want to use this gift to hear from God. What is He doing in this moment? And just to get that wisdom around that. So here's how we activate it. We just ask. Just ask. God, what's going on in the spiritual realm right now? It's as simple as that. Is that you? Or is it something else? That's how we activate this gift. That's how we tap into what may already be going on inside of you. And then just ask, what are you trying to do in this moment? No need to over-spiritualize things. Like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Exorcism. It's not like that. It's like, God, what are you doing here right now? Take the pressure off. Take the pressure off, okay? It's just asking God simply, what do you want to do right here? Okay, so that's the discerning of spirit. You still with me?
Yeah.
Discerning of spirits. Both those that are not from God, but also what God's doing in this moment. The next we have a word of wisdom. Okay, I'll give you the definition again. A word of wisdom is insight into solving a problem or situation that clearly could not come from your own education, knowledge, understanding, or experience. Okay? Now, one of the wisest men to ever walk this world was a man called King Solomon. Okay? In the Old Testament, he was a king. And one night, God came to him and he said, what do you want, King Solomon? Whatever it is that you want, ask for it and you shall have it. Now, King Solomon actually practiced what Paul was telling us here. Because rather than asking for wealth, for love, or for a long life, or anything like that, what he asked is, God, I want wisdom so I can serve others well. That's what these gifts are about. Solomon understood this. And then here's what happened. God actually gave him the gift of wisdom and everything else that he could imagine as well. Because that is who our God is. He doesn't just want to stop at one gift. He wants to give you the other gifts as well, because one gift flows to another gift and to another gift. Now, here's the thing. Here's what happened one time with King Solomon. He was faced with this situation where these two mothers, the Bible calls them something else. They're actually prostitutes, but these two women came to him. And here's what happened with these women, okay? So they both had a baby, all right? So both mothers, young babies, and they were sleeping in the same house. What happened one night is that one of the mothers actually rolled onto the baby and it died. Sad story. But it actually gets worse. Here's what this other lady, the lady whose baby died, actually decided to do. She thought it was okay to just switch the babies around, pretending like hers didn't die, and the other lady's, the real mother, that her baby died. It's terrible, right? But no one would have known any different. Now, here's the thing. The other lady, the real mother, she actually kind of caught on to this. And she's like, this is not right. This is my baby. This looks nothing like my baby. And she actually took the case in front of King Solomon. Now, just imagine this. you now as king have to decide what's right and wrong here, not knowing any of the backstory. So here's, we pick up the story in 1 Kings 3, verse 23 to 28. Here's where King Solomon tapped into Holy Spirit wisdom. This is what he said. The king said, "This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." That's pretty crazy. You want to know that you've got a word from God, some wisdom from God, before you start saying something like that. But you'll know. You'll know if this is from God, because it's just a confidence inside. It comes from faith. So see how one gift activates the next gift. So he was acting out of faith and then operating in wisdom. So the woman whose son was alive was so deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Men. Then the king gave this ruling: "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother." He knew. Not in his own strength, not out of, like, "I've come across this before, precedent law, I'll apply this." He's never come across a situation like this. He tapped into Holy Spirit wisdom. It's so good. It's so good. Yes, I agree with you. It's beautiful. It's an awesome gift, and it's available for you, and it may actually be operating inside of you. And you're just like, "Yeah, I get that all the time. I get thoughts that aren't really, they don't make sense." But then afterwards, it's like, if they only did that. And that's what God's saying to you tonight. Because here's how this works for us right now. God came to Solomon in a dream, but we had Jesus die on a cross for us and our sin. We talked about that earlier on. And what God's saying is, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. The same wisdom that Jesus had now lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. That's what this is all about, that when we become a child of God, we don't have to operate in our own strength anymore, our own knowledge, our own experience. A young person can know things that they should not know. I pray that over our pastors every day. I pray that they would have the wisdom of King Solomon. Man, they operate at a level and they do things they should not be able to do. But I believe it's the wisdom of God upon them. And that's what we need to do as well for each other. And don't over-spiritualize this again. It's super simple. Like in the morning, in my quiet time, I just ask God, "God, fill me with your wisdom today." The scripture that I pray, and I encourage you, use this scripture when you pray. It's in Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him more. Every morning I pray that scripture when I kind of pray in tongues. It's one of the ones that I just always pray, because I know I'm going to face impossible situations today. And rather than me making that decision, I want the Holy Spirit on my side. And God wants the same for you. It might be in the workplace. It might be a coaching conversation. It might be wisdom for your kids. I need a lot of that because I haven't been there before. But God gives it willingly. Come on. Where do we activate this gift? A safe place. Again, it's in your connect groups. Don't be afraid. If you have something in your heart and you're like, "Man, I feel like I want to give this person some wisdom," do it. Later on, we'll show you kind of how to phrase that and we'll activate the gift together. But don't hold back. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind of wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom to operate in his giftings. Is that good? Yes. Come on. Quick recap. Gift of discerning spirit and a gift of wisdom. Our last one, as we come to a close tonight, is a word of knowledge. I laugh because I'm trying to suppress some emotions up here. But before I do that, let me just give you the dictionary version. A word of knowledge is information given to you by the Holy Spirit about a person or situation. that could not have been known by natural means. All right, so what does that mean? Let's break it down. A word of knowledge opens people's hearts. That's what it does. It goes straight through that wall, it breaks it open, and allows people to put down the guard so God can do what he wants to do. I'm going to read you a story. I'm not going to try and tell it, okay? All right. So, about over 100 years ago, there lived a man named Mr. Schilling in Germany. One night, he was aimlessly walking around the streets of Stuttgart in the southern part of Germany. Another man, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, went up to him and said this, "I feel like you're not okay. You look really sad. Is everything okay? And would you mind if I prayed for you?" Mr. Schilling wasn't a religious man, but he indeed was sad, and he replied with this, "I don't know what to do. I've just been told by the doctors that my daughter Tilly hasn't got long to live because her appendix had burst. So yes, please pray for me." So the two prayed. The man then turned to Mr. Schilling and said this, "Let's go to the hospital and pray for Tilly. I believe God wants to heal your daughter tonight." Not having much else of a choice, Mr. Schilling accepted the offer and they went to the hospital. That night, God did a miracle and healed Tilly. How awesome. Overcome by God's goodness, the entire Schilling family decided to give their hearts to God. A word of knowledge opened someone's heart, led to a miracle, led to the greatest miracle because they met Jesus for the first time. How good is God? The story's not finished. Check this out. Just a few weeks ago, I actually sat in a service very similar to this one in Germany. And this one pastor... I've got to get through this. And this one pastor told another story. She shared how when they arrived in Germany from Poland, they didn't know anyone, let alone the language. She felt alone, intimidated, and discouraged. But two ladies, one of them named Tilly, kept inviting her to Connect Group, kept wanting to pray for her and her husband. God put on Tilly's heart to boldly keep going after the ones. The pastor shared this was Tilly's prayers and encouragement that gave them the confidence to become pastors, and still to this day, 20 years ago, are leading the church strong. How awesome is that? Come on, yes, let's give God some praise. But hang on, God wasn't done yet. When we start trusting him with these gifts, he moves, and he moves in ways that we can't even think, ask, or imagine. What Tilly did, she passed what God had done for her and her family onto her daughter as well, and her daughter onto her children. Her oldest daughter has been serving and running youth group from the age of 18 and still to this day serves in the house. One of her sons is now the national director of over, get this, 50 churches in Germany, making way for God to impact his congregation, the younger generation, and every other pastor in that movement across Germany in a way that I know God has not impacted Germany in a very long time. Come on, another daughter is a pastor helping and lead another church. Yet another daughter is studying at Bible college, impacting people in worship and song. And another is a worship leader at Hillsong in Germany. And yet another son of hers, the one that probably needed the most rebuking and refining by God's fire because of his stubbornness, is in front of you to tell this story tonight. Why is that? Because one man 100 years ago was obedient and willing to activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Four generations, thousands of lives impacted. and many more yet to be impacted. I believe that and I prophesy that right now. But my question to you tonight is, do you want to be part of a move of God like that? Come on, do you want to be part of a move of God like that? Then don't make it about you. Make it about everything that God can do through you. He's given us the gifts. There's 9 of them. Start tapping into them tonight. Who wants to activate those gifts tonight? Come on. Let's give God a shout of praise. Let's give him a shout of praise for his good. He's for us and not against us. He has come. Jesus said this, he's come that you may have life and have it abundantly, so you can share that hope with others. That's what God wants to do. You may be seated. He wants to move right here tonight. So we're going to activate those gifts in a moment, and I pray and I ask that you would be bold and that you would step out. If you felt in your heart, man, yeah, one of those gifts over the last 3 weeks has resonated with me, but I've resisted, I want to encourage you to activate the gift, because the gift is in you. The gift is in you. Say that. The gift is in you. The gift is in you. Come on. Just last story. There was another man in history who was obedient. Obedient even to the point of death. His name was Jesus. And he, again, could have had all the riches, all the glory, all the fame, but he didn't want any of that because he loved us so much that he actually gave away all of that, even to the point of death. He gave away his own life so that we wouldn't perish in hell. That's the truth. That's where the rubber meets the road tonight. And he's here right now. The Holy Spirit's here right now. And if you haven't made that choice to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you a chance to do that in a moment. I don't like to over-spiritualize things. And the way it works is really simple. We simply ask Jesus, we say a little prayer and ask him to come into our hearts and then help us to stop living our way and start living his way. So church, let's close our eyes and just create some room for the Holy Spirit to move. I believe God wants to touch some specific hearts. You may have never made this decision. Tonight is your chance, not only to get right with God, but then he wants to activate those gifts in you tonight as well. You may have known God for a long time, but you've kind of drifted away. He hasn't been the top of your priority list. If that's you and you want to come back to God tonight, I want to include you in this prayer. So in a moment, for those two types of people, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in your seat. I'll say, hey, I've seen your hand. You can put it down and then we'll say that prayer together. It's really simple. Or you might be someone that's just unsure. And you're not quite sure, hey, yes, I've come to this church. I've sat in these services, but I'm still unsure about salvation. I want to make sure that you are 100% sure whatever happens after tonight, you know that you will be going to heaven. So if that's you, if you want to meet Jesus for the first time, if you want to invite him into your life and make him Lord of your life, if you want to come back to him, or if you just want to be 100% sure, just slip up your hand right now and I want to say a prayer with you. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, that you're touching hearts right now. Beautiful. You know, I love it when people raise their hands and invite God into their life, but what makes me also happy is the thought that I'm going to share eternity with all of you. We're all going to heaven tonight, and this is testimony of that. So thank you so much for doing life together with me. Thank you so much for being part of this church. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross for us and for our sin. I pray, Father, Lord, that you will just continue to knock on our hearts, that you would continue to knock on the hearts that need to be knocked upon. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would activate us. Fill us with your Spirit, with your Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, not what we can do, not who we can be, but who we can impact for you, God. Come on, in your name we pray, amen. 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 All right. So what I want to do is I don't want this to just be